When a human girl falls in love with a fallen angel, the consequences reach far beyond teenage heartbreak. Nora Gray and Patch's relationship exists in that dangerous space where the supernatural and the human world collide, a love that could literally damn him to hell. Their story begins on Delphic Beach, where moonlight illuminates their growing intimacy. Patch gives Nora his silver archangel necklace, an ancient truth detector, while she offers her most treasured possession, her father's copper ring. But when Nora whispers, "I love you," Patch's response is merely a slight nod, not because he doesn't feel the same, but because acknowledging that love could trigger catastrophic consequences. The archangels, who strictly forbid relationships between fallen angels and humans, are always watching. And as Patch suddenly tenses, sensing an otherworldly presence in the nearby woods, we're reminded that their love exists under constant surveillance. Every tender moment carries the weight of potential damnation. Love quickly turns to doubt when Nora's longtime rival, Marcy Miller, makes a disturbing discovery. Patch's student file is completely empty. Worse, Marcy claims she saw Patch watching her house the previous night. When confronted, Patch admits being there but explains it as supernatural business. Fallen angels were trying to force a Nephil to swear fealty. His seemingly protective attitude toward Marcy triggers Nora's deepest insecurities. Driven by anxiety, Nora asks if he loves her. His response reveals their cruel paradox. If the archangels become convinced of his love, they'll condemn him to hell eternally. Trapped between love and fear of destroying him, Nora makes the heartbreaking decision to end their relationship. The aftermath is devastating: violent nausea, dizziness, and a hollow ache in her chest that echoes the void left by Patch's absence. How can love survive when its very acknowledgement threatens destruction? Have you ever had a dream so vivid it left physical marks? For Nora, nightmares and reality blur as supernatural events transform her world. Her childhood friend Scott returns exhibiting inhuman traits: movements too fluid, reactions too quick, his presence chilling any room. During dinner, Nora witnesses an impossible silent conversation between Scott and his terrified mother. Nora's dreams intensify, particularly one with Marcy's father Hank Miller appearing as Barnabas Underwood. He warns about devil's angels seeking his body, his skin rippling unnaturally, his eyes shifting between normal and complete darkness. Nora wakes with unexplained bruises and sulfur scent in her room. An anonymous package arrives containing an iron ring with a clenched fist stamp and a note accusing the Black Hand of murdering her father. Most disturbing are Nora's encounters with what seems to be her deceased father's spirit, whose cold grip leaves marks that take days to fade. Are these occurrences connected to her father's murder or part of a conspiracy involving Scott and Hank? Nothing cuts deeper than seeing someone you love with your worst enemy. For Nora, this wound opens when she witnesses Marcy climbing into Patch's Jeep. Inside the club, Marcy deliberately taunts her by wearing Patch's cap and asking cruelly, "Doesn't he smell amazing?" The confrontation turns physical when Marcy claims Patch left Nora because she wasn't enough of a slut. When Patch appears, he hands Nora off to V while returning for Marcy, a choice that feels like betrayal. Later, Patch enters Nora's dream. Their angry confrontation turns passionate, and when she touches the scars where his wings once connected, she's plunged into his memory. There, she witnesses Marcy attempting to seduce him. Though Patch doesn't fully reject Marcy's advances, the memory reveals he hasn't completely committed to her either. This triangle exposes each character's vulnerabilities: Nora's insecurity about her worth, Patch's impossible choice between love and self-preservation, and Marcy's need for power through conquest. Betrayal devastates not just through the act itself, but by targeting our deepest insecurities. Nora's sense of being hunted becomes reality when she's drugged by a perfumed card, supposedly from Patch, and trapped in the library after hours. While escaping, she hears her father's voice, initially comforting, but turning strange and demanding. A dark SUV then pursues her through town, marking an escalation from warnings to direct threats, with someone exploiting her grief to endanger her. The danger intensifies at a pool hall with Scott, where Nora witnesses a confrontation between Scott and a menacing man bearing a clenched fist brand near his collarbone, identical to the mark on the mysterious iron ring. The man displays superhuman strength before pulling a gun and demanding money. Patch later identifies him as a Nephilim with a Blood Society branding mark, part of a group amassing resources for unknown purposes. These encounters reveal multiple threats converging. Archangels threatening Patch with hell for loving Nora, a Nephilim Blood Society gathering resources, and someone directly targeting Nora through psychological manipulation. These supernatural dangers mirror her emotional landscape, a world where nothing feels safe anymore. Nora's world shatters when Marcy suggests they're half-sisters, claiming Nora's mother had an affair with Hank Miller. Though Nora initially dismisses this, she recalls Hank's Land Cruiser visiting after her father's death, a memory that suddenly feels significant. Patch reveals in a dream that Marcy, daughter of a first-generation Nephilim, faces sacrifice by a Nephilim Blood Society. While captive, Nora learns the shocking truth. Harrison Gray wasn't her biological father. Hank Miller is. Hank, also called Barnabas, a first-generation Nephil born to a human and fallen angel, makes Nora part Nephilim herself, explaining her supernatural connections. This revelation transforms everything. The father she mourned raised her as his own despite their lack of blood relation. Her biological father is a powerful Nephilim leader with his own agenda, and Marcy truly is her half-sister. What began as romantic rivalry becomes a question of bloodlines and hidden identities, a quest to understand how our heritage shapes who we are. Throughout the story, Nora struggles to determine who she can trust. While suspecting Patch killed her father, the true betrayer is Rixon, Patch's oldest friend. Following her father's ghostly instruction to touch Rixon's scars, Nora discovers through his memories that Rixon murdered her father out of jealousy that Patch regained his wings because of Nora. Rixon admits orchestrating everything to drive them apart, planning to sacrifice Nora to gain a human body. Patch reveals he suspected Rixon but needed proof. Though unable to directly protect Nora after she fired him as her guardian angel, he sent warnings through dreams. Most significantly, Patch confesses going rogue, breaking with the archangels to save Nora, potentially condemning himself to hell. He banished Rixon to hell, defying the archangel hierarchy. The consequences arrive when Nephilim, led by Hank Miller, the true Black Hand and Nephilim Blood Society leader, sees Patch. In a world where angel-human love is forbidden, their connection has cost them safety. Yet they choose each other repeatedly, suggesting some bonds are worth any sacrifice. Isn't that the ultimate test of love? What we're willing to risk to protect it?